A lot of people say that they don't read the Bible because they don't understand it. And as a Christian, I feel like it's my duty to teach it to you. Welcome to the Ghetto Bible Tales. I'm your host, Jerrica, and here we talk about biblical and spiritual things in a comical yet understandable way. We're going to learn, but we're going to laugh too. So grab your Bibles and your sense of humor and get ready for this. Family, it's your girl Jerrica, and I am finally back with yet another ghetto Bible tale. And today we are talking about Rahab, Rahab, Rahab. It's at the bottom of the screen. Get ready for this one. All right, y'all. Before we can get into the story of Rahab, Before we get into her story, we must first discuss the rules of context. I have a video that better explains the rules of context. I will leave a link to that video in the description box. But for now, we are just going to run through them real fast so we can get to our story. Rule number one is language. The Bible wasn't originally written in English. It was originally written in ancient Hebrew and ancient Greek. I need you to keep that in consideration while you're reading the Bible. Rule number two, history and culture. The history and culture of the Bible is of ancient Israel. Please do not apply your modern day cultural rules to the Bible. It will not work. It's not even remotely the same. Rule number three, reading the Bible as a whole. The Bible is a complete body of work. You must read it and take it as it is for what it is. Do not chop and cut bits and pieces and try to expand it on its grand scale to make it mean something that it doesn't mean. That's not right. The final rule of context is the Holy Spirit. You must first consult the Lord your God. Ask him to bestow his Holy Spirit upon you so that it may be a teacher and help you understand this Bible. Once you gain an understanding of the rules of context, we can proceed on in our story. All right, so the story of Rahab, whatever her name is, I know I'm pronouncing it wrong, is at the bottom of the screen. This was requested by somebody, but once again, I have failed at writing down the name of the person who requested this video. So if you requested this video, please let me know in the comments because I don't remember. So Rahab's story, Ray, or whatever we gonna call her. Her story takes place in the book of Joshua chapter 2. So at this point, Moses has died and Joshua is the new leader of Israel. So they're trying to get into the promised land that God has promised them. But however, you know, there are people occupying this land. So you can't just walk up in it and take it. So now they got to fight to get the land. So at this point, Moses has died, and like I said, Joshua is the new leader of them. So God commands him to get the land that he has promised them. And so Joshua starts making moves accordingly to get this land. He sends out two spies to survey the land, and they end up at Rahab's house in Jericho. For those of you that don't know, Rahab is a prostitute. If you don't know what a prostitute is, that is a person that sells their body for money or gifts. So like an escort. Rahab is like an escort. A hooker, escort, prostitute, whatever you want to call it. She sells her body for money. Some folks may feel a type of way with Joshua sending the spies to a whole house. But in my opinion, it was a smart move because when people come from out of town into these new towns, the first place they going is to a whole house. So I feel like it was real smart for them to go to a whorehouse, because when people are traveling, they look and they're going to a new place, they're looking to have a good time. And back then, a good time was getting your freak on with a neighborhood hoe. So the two spies, which were men, went to Rahab's house, who is a known prostitute. The whole city of Jericho was on alert because of the reputation of Israel at this point. They had just conquered the east side of the River Jordan, and now Jericho was on the west side, so they was coming to take that side. Because as you all know, a couple of the tribes had settled on the east side of Jordan, which wasn't what God told them to do, because he told them that all that land on the other side was theirs, but they wanted to stay over there because they just wanted to stay on the east side, so God let them stay over there. But a promise was made that if the other tribes on the west side needed them for battle or whatever, that they would drop everything and come. So that was the promise that they made to each other as a entire body of Israel. The city of Jericho was on high alert because they had heard so much about the children of Israel. Like, at this point, so many things have happened. They have won so many battles, fought so many mighty armies, and they've won with literally nothing. And like I said, they had just conquered the east of the Jordan. So the people in Jericho on high alert, and they were expecting Israel to come their way next. And because they were on high alert, the city was definitely more locked down. It was more security because they were scared. Somebody told the king of Jericho that they saw two men go into the prostitute's house. So because of that, he sends people to the house to question her. She hides the men. I think it says that she hides them on the roof. So they're like under whatever the material is that's on her roof. They're hiding under there, and the men come in and they question her. She tells the security people that they had came, but that they left. And if you get out there just in time, you might find them on the road. So you better go chase them and go get them. And so that's what the security people did. They left her house, going out there looking for some men that were still at her house. But when the king men leave, she talks to the spies and she tells them that she knows that this land belongs to them. She knows that their God is giving them this land. And then she starts to recount all of the stories surrounding Israel. She tells them about how they defeated Pharaoh in Egypt, how they crossed the Red Sea, how Moses struck a rock and water came out, how quail fell from the sky, how God covered them as a cloud, and how he rained manna and made sure they were fed. She knows all the stories of Israel, and she speaks to the magnificence of Yahweh, of their God. Mind you, she is not an Israelite. So she has not actually met God personally. Like, she has not had her own personal experience with God. She has solely heard about this God. So she recounts all the miracles to them. She knows Israel's entire history, and she tells it back to them about all the things they've been through as a people, and how their God has supported them and brought them out and taken them this place and that place. And she asked them, since she protected them from the king's people, will they spare her and her family? The thing, though, to me that's so amazing about Rahab is that, unlike the children of Israel, she never saw any of this. She only heard about it, and that was enough for her to believe. Like, if you read all the stories with the children of Israel, they saw the magnificence of God with their own eyes. They didn't hear about it. They saw it with their own eyes. They heard him talk with their own ears. He had done a crazy amount of miracles in their face, and that wasn't even enough for them to trust and believe in him. It's like a whole generation of Israelites didn't make it to the promised land because of their unbelief. But I think it's amazing to me how this woman who wasn't an Israelite and who had never witnessed the magnificence of God, only heard about it, how much she believed. I thought that was amazing on her part. So she asked them if they could spare her, and they agree. Before leaving, they give her a scarlet cord to hang over her threshold of her door. And that way they would know not to attack that house or do anything to that house, that house is protected. It kind of goes back to when they were in Egypt and the blood stain was over the threshold and it kept the spirit of death from going into the house and killing them. Same thing happens here. So if that red cord was over her threshold, the children of Israel knew not to attack that house. Also told her, like, anybody that you want to save, they have to be in the house with you. If they are outside, they gonna die. So Rahab made sure to have her entire family in the house at the time they attacked. So her mama, her daddy, her children, her man, whoever, cousins, uncles, brothers, sisters, they all had to be inside her house because her house was the only house that's going to be protected when Israel attacked. So the spies go back and they tell Joshua basically how everybody in Jericho is terrified of them and how Rahab saved them and how God has prepared the land for them, because they was also scouting the land to see how the land looked and what they was about to get into with this land, and everything was good so far. So, of course, Israel goes into battle. They take Jericho and Rahab is spared. And fun fact, Rahab is an ancestor of David, the King David. She is the great-great-grandmother of King David, which also makes her an ancestor of Jesus, for those of you that don't know. So this woman who is not an Israelite risks her life to protect Israel, and then she wholeheartedly believes in Yahweh and becomes a very important figure. She is an ancestor of the Savior, of Jesus Christ. And that kind of goes back to when people be saying that God got a certain people, or God picked a certain people. This woman was not an Israelite. She's a Gentile for all purposes. She's not a Israelite at all, and yet she becomes an ancestor of Jesus. She is King David's great-great-grandma, but she's not an Israelite. God will accept anyone who wholeheartedly accepts him, and that's what Rahab did. She wholeheartedly accepted God for who he was. And once again, I want to highlight how it wasn't through anything that she saw. It was hearing. So seeing wasn't believing for her. It was hearing about him. And she had that much faith just from hearing how great God is. I feel like in life in general, we will all be presented with a choice to choose God, because everybody in that land they were in heard about God. They heard about God, they heard about Israel. But Rahab was the only one that heeded those words, and she was the only one who chose to truly believe in God. She was the only one to yield. I feel like if everyone else there had taken the same approach that Rahab taken, none of those people would have died. God would have wholeheartedly accepted them as his people because they accepted him as their God, like she did. But they didn't. She was the only person. And that is why when we reach the end, there will be no excuse as to why you didn't choose God. There is not one person who will ever be able to say, well, I didn't know. I didn't know God, blah, blah, blah. God is going to bring up every moment where he presented himself to you and you told him no. In life, we are always presented with the blessing and the curse. You either going to choose God or you're going to choose the curse. It's going to be one or the other. And I feel like that choice is presented every day of our life. Every day, before you shut your eyes, God gives you the opportunity to choose him. Everybody in this city of Jericho had the opportunity to choose God, but only one person did. And because she chose God, she lived. God is life. The other side is death. And every day you're going to be presented with that choice. You can either be like Rahab and choose God and blessings, or you can be like everybody else in the city of Jericho and choose death and curses. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the story of Rahab, the prostitute, the hooker, the escort, or whatever you want to call her. The great-great-grandmother of King David and the ancestor mother of Jesus. But you do not have to take my word for it. Crack up in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2 and you can read it for yourself. Thank you for watching this video. Please like, comment, subscribe, share it with your friends, share it with your family. Thank you to everybody that watches these videos. If you want to request a video of your own or a story that you want me to tell, please leave a comment on this video or a comment on one of my community posts or on my Instagram or anywhere. You can go to ghettobibletales.com. There's a request section there. You can leave a request there if you want to. Once again, thank you for watching this video. And until next time. Thanks for tuning in. All Ghetto Bible Tale episodes are posted on YouTube simultaneously in video format. You can follow Ghetto Bible Tales on all social media pages at Ghetto Bible Tales. You can also head on over to ghettobibletales.com and request a story or topic that you wish for me to discuss on this show. Once again, this has been your host, Jerrica, and this has been the Ghetto Bible Tales.